And I wait while the presentation is loading. Paul is the business development manager for the lab and life science group at Siemens Building Technologies. He's been over 25 years and more in this organization. A lot of it's been spent on lab projects, but he's also a broad experience on some other things as well. Spent some time in the field offices in New York and New Jersey working as a sales manager. Lots of time doing product management and other kinds of support tasks in the national office. He got his bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and physics from the University of Illinois and a master's in business management from Northwestern University. Paul?
Pardon the handoff here. Everybody can hear me? All right, great. So our learning objectives, I think when the three of us discussed this seminar, the plan was more for me to go last or in the middle, so I'll start carrying it out here. I won't read you all the objectives, but I'm really going to focus on very specifically on old lab installations and trying to do just sort of the minimum amount of renovation there. Also want to give an acknowledgement to Joseph Hayden. He's a building system manager for University of Florida's Institute for Food and Agricultural Sciences. Everybody's probably familiar with the Gainesville campus of the University of Florida, but the Food and Ag Sciences group has 16 other campuses throughout the state. And poor Joe had been the owner, inheritor of many, many old lab ventilation systems. And years ago, I met him and started talking to him about renovations. And my concept at that time was just rip stuff out and put stuff in. And he explained how they didn't have all the money in the world. They needed to do things that didn't disrupt classes. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about today comes from that experience with Joe. And I've been trying to get him to come out to ASHRAE and present himself, but apparently he always finds something better to do on a Sunday morning in June. So thank you, Joe. So I'm going to start out by talking about problems with old lab systems and some ways to improve them. Then I'm going to talk about just briefly four project experiences, trying to highlight a little bit of each type there. And then follow up with some conclusions. So one of the problems with old lab ventilation systems, it's not necessarily a problem. Yeah, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, constant volume was what we did, right? It was, we saw a certain level of hazard. We knew we needed ventilation to help dilute the contaminants and get them out of the building. In fact, we just had a whole forum on design guidelines relative to that. So constant volume wasn't bad. It's not really a problem. But I think it's a saying that goes back to the 1600s. The only thing that's constant in life is change. And so some folks with older lab facilities that were set up to be constant volume today understand that they want to be able to change those flows. And they want to be able to change the applications they've got. So this is one of the problems facing an old lab system. Pneumatic actuation, being part of a organization that works with a lot of Europeans who don't know how to spell pneumatic, I have to remind younger engineers, too, that there was a time when that was all we had for actuation and moving parts around. But today, a lot of pneumatic systems suffer from a lack of spare parts and maybe a lack of that expertise and training required to really make those systems work properly. So many owners of labs are looking to renovate and replace pneumatic actuation. Analog controls, again, there was a time when analog was the top of the food chain, the most advanced system you could have. With today's digital controls, people have developed an expectation for a certain kind of an interface. And they find that the analog control systems just don't meet their needs anymore. They may be working, they just may not be able to express how they're working. And certainly they often require special tools and special training to work with them properly. And again, as with pneumatics, the people with that special training are finding they want to spend more time at home and in retirement, right? And finally, there were early digital control systems. And being pretty intimate with digital controls, I can tell you that you know, we've learned a lot. Again, this change thing, it's happening faster and faster. So again, you probably encounter old ventilation systems with some digital control solutions that maybe we're not finding spare parts for. And today too, we're trying to interface more of these systems to overall building controls and try to get more information in the hands of the managers, the energy managers, the safety managers. And so some of the older digital systems just didn't have the interface capabilities that today's modern specifications are requiring. So again, I'm calling them problems, but you know, it was the way things were designed and today's expectations have changed. So some of the ways to improve, obviously to bring new controls that have spare parts and proper support. Another way is to bring in a new control system that allows you to have dynamic airflow and make it responsive to the lab users and the hazards. So again, something we've been talking about all morning was this idea of evaluating the hazard. When there's no risk of exposure, it's all right to reduce ventilation rates. And that comes often with having to, you have to renovate the control system in order to make that happen. Again, though, as Jim has pointed out, that's a key theme here in our presentations. And I won't talk specifically about specific savings opportunities, but I think everyone understands if you're able to reduce the air flowing out of a lab, that 100% outside air type system, you're going to be saving energy. Better interfaces for users. And again, it's various types of users. In the past, safety people were sort of relegated to the, to looking for tripping and falling hazards and that sort of thing. But today, they're an integral part of the team that's designing and tracking how lab buildings are operating. And they need information. They need information on whether or not people are closing sashes, whether or not people are in the space or not. Part of what we're trying to do to improve is provide a better interface for those folks. And then state-of-the-art access to data. Again, kind of tying all those together is this idea of being able to find out what's really going on in the laboratory. Are you really getting the flows that you're designing for? Is the room occupied or not occupied? And therefore, is there a hazard situation there or not? And today, new technologies exist for doing things like contaminant measurement. So we can really try to identify, are we in a situation that's got a hazard or not? So there's a number of ways to improve these labs. And when you've got these remedies in place, one of the things you want to talk about is what can you redo? What can you reuse? What can you replace? And what do you get to keep? Again, the focus of my case studies I'm going to talk about here is really more one for customers, clients, owners of labs who wanted to make changes that represented sort of the lowest possible investment, but to get the biggest possible return. So I'm not really talking about a major renovation, ripping out a lot of ductwork. We're going to try to reuse the valves, the mechanical equipment as much as possible, and also in the process try to limit the amount of disruption to research. For most existing labs, I mean, there's a lot of research going on, there's a lot of activity, and even some of the simplest renovations can disrupt that. And there's pretty much by definition, the labs are occupied. They don't have a lot of swing space. Putting in swing space is a huge investment. So trying to find ways to do these kinds of renovations without major disruption is a key opportunity, a key goal. On the actuator side, can they be reused? Many times they can. Talked a little about pneumatics. You know, maybe they need to be replaced. But it's one of the things we need to look at. Wiring, again, it's a thing you need to evaluate. If you can reuse the wire, that's great. Often the old wire that's in there doesn't meet today's requirements for limiting susceptibility or generation of electromagnetic interference. So you need to decide where on that continuum you're gonna put your new system or your updated system. And finally, some of the sensors are reusable. Things like sensing the sash position, you may be able to reuse that. Temperature sensors in the space, you may be able to reuse that. On the other hand, you need to do an evaluation. A faulty sensor may be at the heart of why you feel the old lab system isn't functioning properly. But again, going to assume that at this point, you know, you're evaluating a laboratory and you've tested some of those simple things, and so that you've made a decision you're going to move forward. Let's talk about some of the opportunities that are there. So one is taking a constant volume lab. And here the idea is you've got a constant volume lab. In this picture is a typical Venturi air valve. It's been locked in place. And remember, inside the Venturi air valve, there's a structure that allows it to mechanically maintain flow independent of the pressure variation up in the ductwork. So everything's locked in place. And this particular customer I'm talking about here, he had constant volume operations, and he wanted to be able to vary his exhaust. He wanted to be able to make his fume hoods operate on a variable volume basis. He wanted to be able to slow down or turn off snorkel exhaust canopies that he had in the facility. So they added actuators that enabled flow modulation. And I think you can see the moving here. So this is the actuator that they added, and this is the actual structure on the existing valve that was used for locking the control arm in place. And the team that did this renovation was able to, I think, pretty creatively find a way to mount this actuator because there really wasn't any other structure nearby to that valve that could be used. And certainly we don't want to be putting sheet metal screws into that aluminum body and affecting that. So I think it was pretty creative. They added airflow measurement to be able to verify they were getting the turn down, put in controls that basically allowed them to do face velocity control at the hood. As I said, turn off their snorkels and cut the airflow significantly. And in this case, definitely paid for the whole project within about a year, year and a half. A second facility, they had pneumatic actuation. The facility staff had a number of campuses of buildings that they managed very actively, utilized the building controls to find out what was going on. But within the lab buildings with the pneumatic actuation, pneumatic systems, they didn't have any of that data available. And so they'd become used to a certain level of information, and they wanted to renovate into putting controls that could give them more feedback. The labs, in this case, had been built for VAV, for varying the airflows. But the airflow never did slow down. There were some issues of maintenance. This particular situation was an institution where, you know, perhaps keeping up with the regular maintenance wasn't the number one priority. They didn't have the staff. And after a while, they didn't have staff that understood really the pneumatic controls. So they kind of left the system in what they thought was a safe condition. They took the opportunity to, when they were doing this renovation, to reassess their dilution ventilation rate. And they found that they could get along with much lower dilution rates, air change rates in their lab spaces than what the original building design had been for, which they went to the EH&S department, and they were happy with reducing the airflow rates. And especially they were happy with monitoring for occupancy and being able to reduce the airflow rates based on schedules and occupancy sensors there. So again, the opportunity existed to put in a full digital type system. In this case, they kept the mechanical valves in place. Again, put in electronic instead of pneumatic actuation, new controllers, added airflow sensing to give them the flow feedback. And with occupancy sensors, they were able to get the objectives they had. Again, the facility paid for itself in under 10 years. This particular facility, by the way, had they kind of figured out after the fact that they had a lot of unoccupied time, you know, just by tracing what the occupancy sensor told them about. And it seems a little strange. This is one of the things we talked about in the morning's earlier session. If you don't monitor these things, you make assumptions about how your facility operates, and that may not be that may not meet up with the reality. So if they had just put in motion sensors just to turn the lights on and off, they would have found over time that they had a big opportunity. They had a much bigger opportunity for saving energy than what they thought initially. So that was a pleasant surprise for them in this renovation. The third project was an issue here of bringing back user confidence. They had an old fume hood system that had some components that were failing. The result was that the displayed face velocity on their fume hood control unit was coming up looking different than what the actual flow was. And while they were able to make the system, you know, maintain 100 feet a minute, the required fume hood rate, The displays on the units didn't match up with reality. And this basically caused a lot of the users to have questions. Sometimes they were putting a piece of tape over that display, whatever they could to sort of keep people from bringing it up. But over time, they realized they weren't able to get spare parts. They weren't able to make these repairs. So they wanted to renovate the system. They were able to reuse sash sensors in this case, reuse the mechanical valves, and brought in controls that found the real face velocity. And they used backneck controllers in this case. They were able to add that to their system using the industry standard protocol. And one of the strategies they used at this site to build back confidence was to actually do a little demonstration. This particular site had 135 fume hoods in 38 bays. And they went to one of the bays, did a renovation on two fume hoods and the supply to track that. And then they brought in people from the safety and the science communities and made sure that they bought off on what was being done before they went and renovated all the facility. Finally, the fourth project, they wanted to be able to enable optimization. It was a fairly new lab system in this case, but the owners wanted better integration. In this case, they actually had three systems that all talked BACnet, but I guess as we know, everything talking BACnet, sometimes you still have some variations between systems, and there was an overall IT management issue for them. They wanted to keep all the mechanical parts in place, especially since the system was only about 5-6 years old. So they brought in new controllers, some new sensors to match up with the controllers, and were able to add in a lab DCV system that I think I just show here in the picture, just part of the graphic that showed the VOC feedback particulates. And that allowed them to manage the air change rate in the space and bring it down considerably. And obviously, that's the way they found energy savings and paid for the project. One of the key things here and what I've been talking about in these sites is that they people were adding back airflow sensing in many of these cases to try to bring back peace of mind. And I would tell you that in a lot of these renovation situations, especially when using something like that Venturi air valve, if you've tested the piece of mechanical equipment and you have confidence in its ability to do its job, the level of accuracy or precision that your airflow sensing requires goes down. The mechanical device itself is very accurate. The issue is you don't really know if the air is flowing or not, and it's hard to prove that at times. So what we found is that in many cases, what would be considered an unconventional or a tortured configuration for airflow measurement actually gives you a very satisfactory result. One here with flow sensors put right at a transition, others where some flow sensors are put downstream of an elbow coming from some valves. Actually, in one of the pictures there, it's actually right in front of a smoke and fire damper. Turns out these are excellent devices to act as air straightening vanes. And when they close, you're going to know that it's closed. You're going to know the airflow has been turned off. So just in conclusion, again, old lab systems can be cost-effectively improved without major disruption by reusing the metal and reusing some of the controls. And I think there are short-term and long-term savings available from the airflow reduction, and the next two speakers will talk in more detail about that. And any questions? Thanks.